man had a habit of grumbling at his food his wife placed before him at family meals. Then he would ask for the blessing. And one day after his usual combination of complaint and prayer, his little girl asked, "Daddy, does God hear us when we pray?" He said, "Well, of course. He hears us every time we pray." And she paused on this for a moment and asked, "Does he hear everything else we say the rest of the time?" He says, "Yes, dear, every word," he replied, encouraged that he had inspired his daughter to be curious about spiritual matters. However, his pride was quickly dashed at his daughter's next question, which was, "Well, if he hears us when we pray and he hears us every other time we talk, which one does he believe?" We're going to look at Psalm 48, starting at verse 12. The psalm writer starts the psalm talking about how kings gathered together to attack Jerusalem, but God intervened, and God saved and protected his people. And then it says this in verse 12 through 14, "Go around Zion, encircle it, count its towers, note its ramparts, tour its citadels, so that you can tell a future generation, this God, our God, forever and ever, he will always lead us." Notice he starts, "Walk around Zion, go around her, count her towers." This is a picture of someone who's just been through a battle, and the enemy has come against them, and it looked really bad, but they're still standing. God has protected them and brought them through it. So walk around, take an inventory, count the towers, and say, "Hey, they're all still there." Even after this huge battle, "God, you were with me. It looked like I was going down. It looked like the end. It looked like I was finished. It looked like there was no way out, but you were with me and you brought me through it." How many of you have a story like that in your life? Where you were going through some deep stuff and it looked really bad and it looked like you were at the end of your rope and that you wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for the grace of God. Are there any grateful people here today who can count some blessings in your life and you're grateful that God brought you through it? I am grateful for all that God has done in us and all that he's done for us, the miracles and the difficulties and the times of blessing and the hard times. I'm grateful for all of it. And like the scripture says, I want to tell the next generation because God was with us every step of the way. So we're going to talk about gratitude today. We're going to talk about thankfulness. And I'm going to start with a few scriptures just as a foundation for what comes next. Psalm 69, 30 and 31 says, "I will praise God's name with song and exalt him with thanksgiving. That will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with horns and hooves." So what pleases God more? When we praise God and glorify him by giving thanks. Gratitude is important to God, so it needs to be important to us. God says, "It's more important to me that you're thankful, that your heart is appreciative of who I am and what I've done. That's more important to me than oxen or bulls or sacrifices. That's more important to me than acting religious or doing your religious duty." It says, this will please God more. You see, God is attracted to grateful people. God will show up in situations of people who are grateful and praise God in the middle of that situation, even when the situation looks dark and dysfunctional. And when you praise and thank God in the middle of your problem, before you see any kind of answer, that is a step of faith. And that step will bring God's power into your situation. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3 that God inhabits the praises of his people. Or in another translation, it says he's enthroned on the praises of his people. In other words, there's a sense in which our praise attracts God. It brings God's power into our situation. In fact, let's look at a story in the Bible where that happened. In Acts chapter 16, it tells of how one time Paul and Silas were severely beaten and then thrown into prison. And with their feet and hands chained into stocks, it was a horrible, painful situation. And so what did they do? They started singing praises to God. And in Acts 16, 26 through 27, it says this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. They were praising God despite the painful situation. And what happened? The prison doors opened and their chains fell off. Are you in a painful situation somewhere in your life? Do you need some chains to fall off? The place to start is by showing your gratitude to God in the middle of that painful situation and praising him and thanking him so that he will be attracted to bring his power into your situation. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." You see, God has a protocol for how he wants you to approach him. He says that when you come into my presence, the first thing I want to hear out of your mouth is thank you. You come through the gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. So he says, you can ask me for anything, but first thank me and praise me for everything. So God says, when you come into my presence, before you say please, you say thank you. That's kind of the opposite as we teach our children. But he says, I'm a different kind of father. I want you to first say thank you, so you then can say please. So before you start praying, God, I need a breakthrough. God, I need a miracle. God, I need wisdom. God, I need guidance. Before you come to God with that, you first thank him. God, thank you for the miracles you've already done in my life. Thank you for the finances you've already given me. Thank you for the wisdom you've already given me. It's just a little bit, but it's more than I had before, so thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Notice this is God's will. You're praying, God, I just want to know your will. Should I buy that house? Should I take that job? Should I look for a new job? Should I date that person? Should I move to that city? God, I just want to know your will. Well, I don't know God's will about all those things. But I do know God's will about one thing. His will is for us to be thankful, be grateful, appreciate God, and praise his name. And so what do we know about gratitude? Years ago, I was listening to a conference, and a guy started talking about thankfulness, and he made a couple points that I've never forgotten. And so I want to share those points with you today. I'm going to share with you two things that thankfulness cannot do and two things that thankfulness can do. And so here's number one. Thankfulness cannot be silent. Luke 6:45 says, "A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For a person's mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." When your heart is grateful, it'll overflow from your mouth. When you're grateful, you will say it and you will show it. When you're grateful to God, you will tell him and you will show him. You won't just assume that he knows. And when you're grateful to God for others, you will tell them and you will show them. People say things like, "Well, I'm grateful in my heart. I'm just not very good at saying it." Well, hold on a second. If you're truly grateful in your heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're not speaking it, your heart really isn't that grateful. So don't try to pretend otherwise. When I'm grateful in my heart, but I'm just not very good at showing it. But you know my heart. No, I don't know your heart. I'm not a cardiologist. I don't know your heart unless you say it and show it. From the overflow of your heart, the mouth has to speak. And if you're really grateful, it'll show up in your life through your words and through your actions. Let me give you an illustration on this. I don't even know if Oprah's still on TV anymore, but I grew up watching Oprah, and there was these episodes she would do typically once or maybe twice a year called Oprah's Favorite Things. Anyone remember seeing these episodes? It's where she would go through a bunch of products and books and things that she really, really loved and then give those things to everybody in the audience. And so if you happen to be lucky enough to be in the Oprah audience on the Favorite Things Day, you were going home with a carload of stuff, or in one instance, a car. Everybody in the audience got a car. And what do you think their reaction was every time they got all these gifts? They jumped up and down. They were screaming, hugging, crying. It was a massive explosion of thankfulness. There was no doubt that they were thankful. You could see it. You could hear it. Now, if they can be thankful for simply some stuff that's going to rot away in a garbage pile one day, how can we not be all the more thankful for Jesus Christ to give us that same kind of grace, that grace that actually transforms our lives? How can we not give God that praise for sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to set us free forever from our sin and guilt on a regular basis, giving us eternal life? Is there anybody here who's not just grateful in your heart, but you're willing to show it with your life, to say it with your mouth? God, I'm grateful, so thankful. I wouldn't be here without you. I'm nothing apart from you. Blood shed for me, mercy, grace washing me white as snow, provision, favor, opportunity, loving someone like me. Thankfulness cannot be silent. If you're thankful, you'll say it and you'll show it. Now, I know you have to be real. I know you can't just walk around all the time saying, praise the Lord, or you're going to sound phony. But I'm telling you, most of us are in no danger of sounding too grateful to God. That's not what we're struggling with. Thankfulness cannot be silent. The second thing I want you to know about thankfulness is that thankfulness can sustain your blessings. In your life, in my life, in our church, in our family, in our businesses. A lot of people get a blessing but don't know how to hold on to it. Have you ever watched a really good rock band's lead guitarist do a solo? And you're watching it, and typically when you're watching a band play, you're looking at the hands. You're seeing what he's doing. But if you really watch really close, you'll notice they're also using their feet. They have a thing on the floor called a pedal board, and they're constantly pushing buttons with their feet. And though we only notice the hands, what they do with their feet is just as important to the sound. It can sustain the notes. It can add distortion. It can add reverberation. It can give the guitar 100 different sounds. Well, what the pedal board is to the sound of the guitar, thankfulness is to the blessing of God in your life. And a lot of time we're saying, I'd be happier if my problems would just go away. I could be full of joy, but first my situation needs to get better. That's what we think. But that's not really the secret to more joy in your life. The secret to greater joy is that you need to learn to work the notes that God is already playing in your life. You need to learn to sustain the blessing that he's already given you. And you do that through gratitude. Does anybody here remember a time in your life where you relived an offense over and over in your brain? Somebody hurt you and you replayed that in your mind 100 times through bitterness, maybe for years. There's this perverted power that enables you to relive an offense over and over again because of bitterness and unforgiveness. But if you're a follower of Christ and of the Holy Spirit is in you, then by the power of that Holy Spirit, you can relive the blessings of God over and over and over again. You can sustain the blessing of God so that even when your situation starts to go bad, or even when somebody's hurt you today, you can flash back to the times in your life when God was faithful, when he worked it out, when he blessed you, and you can rejoice once again in the faithfulness of our Savior. And by doing that, you sustain the joy in your life and then remind yourself that you didn't know how much God was working back behind the scenes during those times, but you can see it clearly now. And maybe right now, you don't know how much God is working in your tough situation, but one day you will. Thankfulness can sustain your blessings. The third thing to know about thankfulness is that it cannot coexist with entitlement. You cannot be grateful for something that you feel entitled to. That's why nobody writes thank you notes to the IRS. when they get a tax refund, that's my money. Give me that. That I'm entitled to that. You can't be entitled to something and then be thankful for it at the same time. Now, I'm entitled to my IRS money. That's that tax-free loan that they're holding all year that I need back. But if you start to feel entitled to something, your gratefulness just immediately ends. It's gone. It disappears. The moment you feel entitled. Before Pastor Johnny started encouraging us on staff to bring a sermon every now and then, I had a bunch of feelings. I felt completely inadequate, unworthy of that responsibility. I felt unworthy because I know that there are other people in our church and in our community who are probably a lot more holy than me, probably sin less than me. I kind of felt overwhelmed because I'm working 3 part-time jobs, got 2 young kids at home that I'm dealing with during the day, and now I have to lead a service, write a sermon. But I also felt honored that God and the people of this church would allow me to bring a message. I felt honored because I was like, I can't believe I get to do this. It's so awesome that God has allowed me to be a leader in this church of his. And so I had a lot of feelings that first time around. But one thing I did not feel was entitled. And as a result, I also felt very grateful. You cannot be grateful for something that you feel entitled to. But the problem is that entitlement feeling tries to sneak in over time, doesn't it? When you first become a Christian and you felt that forgiveness and grace of God, you realize what Christ had done for you on the cross and that huge price that he paid so you could be a part of his family. And you felt so grateful, so blessed, so honored, and so unworthy. But over time, we tend to start to take it for granted. Yes, Jesus died for my sins and gave me eternal life, but I don't feel very grateful because, well, what has he done for me lately? I prayed for a raise at work and I haven't gotten one. I prayed for a spouse and I haven't gotten one. I prayed that you'd take that temptation away, but I'm still being tempted. So what's going on, God? Are you sleeping on the job? You start to feel entitled. And so your gratefulness goes out the window. This happens in ministry all the time. I've been a leader in Celebrate Recovery now for about 9 years. And I have to admit that there have been times that I was tempted to feel a little entitled and not as grateful. Like, God, don't you know that I give up every Thursday night to do this? God, those other CRs have so many more volunteers. God, why is RCR always having to beg for funding? And why don't we have more attendees? God, why did those people criticize me? Don't they know that I've invested my life into this? I sacrificed a lot, on and on and on. Fortunately, when those feelings start to creep in, it's not long before I catch myself and remind myself that the only thing that I'm really entitled to is hell. And everything else good that I have is a gift of God. By his grace, by his mercy. And so I will not take it for granted. I will not forget his blessings. I will not forget that it is an honor just to serve him. Because over time, entitlement wants to creep in and grab hold of us. And we start to take for granted the blessings of God. And if you let that happen, it'll kill your gratitude. It'll kill your thankfulness and it'll kill your joy. I love working in ministry. As a media director here, as the CR ministry leader, as the Love Thy Nerd radio manager, I wouldn't want to do anything else with my life. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I'd give it all away and keep doing right what I'm doing. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't change. Because it's a privilege for me that I get to do what I'm doing. In fact, I never planned to retire from ministry. I want to keep serving God and I want to keep telling others about God for the rest of my life. And there will come a time in the future when I get too old to do what I'm doing, when technology will outpace me, and when the next generation is primed to take over. Once I hit 35, man, I'm elderly already. That's what I feel like. I'm just jumping ahead to the end of my life. But I don't care if I have to shout it from the sidewalk to three strangers walking by. I will keep sharing about God until I can't talk anymore because I am grateful for what God has done for me. Just to be used by God is a blessing. Just to be touched by God, it is an honor to be allowed to serve him. Even the privilege of knowing him is a huge blessing. And so here in the world, we get this sense of entitlement. How? How can we ever feel entitled to all of that? How can we ever think that we've earned that or we deserve that? We're not entitled to any of it, but we are hugely blessed by God. And we ought to be extremely grateful. And now the unfortunate truth is, some people who come to church do feel entitled. And I'm not just saying here, I just mean in general. Simply because they show up. They feel entitled to have their kids in a great children's ministry. They feel entitled to a variety of classes, groups, or ministry opportunities to attend. They feel entitled to great worship every Sunday, and the pastor better not have an off week because we're entitled. And since they feel entitled, they feel no obligation to do ministry themselves. I'm a busy person. I don't have the time or the energy. Somebody else can teach the kids or lead the group or make the coffee. Let me tell you, if you have that sense of entitlement in your life, it will ultimately destroy the joy in your life. If you don't have a lot of joy in your life right now, that might be the cause. Thankfulness sustains joy and blessing. Entitlement kills it. You don't got to do ministry, you get to do ministry. If you want a life full of joy, maybe God wants to break that off of some of us here this morning, this entitlement mentality. When it comes to the things in his church, God wants you to have more joy in your life. He wants you to be able to show gratitude, but it's not going to happen until you realize that every blessing you have comes directly from him. If he stops blessing you for one moment, you stop breathing. Our whole life should be an effort to show him our love and our thanks because there is nothing more precious to him than our gratitude and praise. You see, gratitude is not based on how good your situation is. And maybe you think your situation stinks right now. But did you know that there are a million people in Haiti that if they had the privilege of trading places with you right now, they'd be jumping up and down and screaming like those people on Oprah? The Bible says that God determines the places and the times, and he just as easily could have caused you or me to be born in the slums of some third world country. But instead, he gave you the blessing of living here. You ought to be grateful just for that on a daily basis, to show him your gratitude every single day. One more point about thankfulness is that thankfulness can find a blessing anywhere. Have you known a truly thankful person? One that's always so uplifting and encouraging, always smiling, always has a kind word. And it seems like everywhere they go, people feel blessed. And then there are some people who are the opposite, where everywhere they go, people feel blessed when they leave. But thankfulness can find a blessing anywhere. It seems like wherever they go, people feel blessed. Some of you are Bible scholars. Tell me who said this in the New Testament. If you let me live, I'm going to tell more people about Christ. If you torture me, I'm going to get more reward from Christ. If you kill me, I get to go be with Christ. So do whatever you want. Bring it on. It's all the same to me. It's all Christ. Who said that? Exactly, the Apostle Paul. Paul was grateful to God, even though he wrote that from a prison cell with chains on his feet. Thankfulness can find a blessing anywhere. Now, the opposite is also true. Negativity can find a burden anywhere. You pray and you pray and you pray to get a certain job, and then God finally gives you that job, and then 2 weeks later, you're complaining about the job that God just gave you. Well, my boss never says hello to me. He seems like he's always in a bad mood, and the people that I work with are jerks. I don't know what their problem is. You're turning a blessing of God into a burden. Some of you prayed and prayed for God to bring along a husband or a wife, and now you're married, and all you do is complain about your spouse. Negativity can find a burden anywhere. We need to be full of gratitude for the blessings of God to put that he has put in our lives and never lose that gratitude. It's like instant replay in sports. I don't know about you, but I love that they have instant replay in football, mainly because I'm not a big sports guy and I never seem to know where to look. So close plays can get challenged. In football, there's really two ways that it's used. Of course, the coaches can challenge a play. But even if they don't challenge, all the big plays get covered. Anytime during a scoring play or a turnover or after the two-minute warning of each half or in overtime, reviews are constantly being made by the replay assistant who sits up in the press box upstairs. They monitor the broadcast of the game. And if he determines that a play needs review, it happens automatically without the need for a challenge. And so that's when you see the refs come out and say, upon further review, the ruling on the field stands, which means that the officials got it right the first time around. Or sometimes they'll come out and say, upon further review, the ruling on the field is overturned. But of course, if you're sitting in the stands or watching on TV and watching that play, you can't see that play up close or from the right angle all the time, and it happens so quick, and you're not really sure if that guy stepped out of bounds or not, or you're not sure if that ball really touched the ground when he caught it. And even if you could see it, you don't have the authority to make any changes. But the replay official upstairs in the press box does have some authority. The official upstairs has the authority to say the call on the field may have looked one way, but the call upstairs is what it is, and what it is different than what it looked like. Now, here's a point. There's some calls on the field in your life right now, and it doesn't look good. And you feel like there's reason to complain. There's reason to be discouraged and depressed that you don't have what it takes. You feel like you don't have what you need. That's the ruling on the field. But we have an official upstairs, and we can send our situation upstairs so it can be reviewed further. And upon further review, you don't have to live and walk in depression. Upon further review, you have everything that God needs you to have to do what he wants you to do. Upon further review, your marriage is not dead. Your life is not over. You are not too old to make a difference. You're not too young to make a difference. Upon further review, there is a bright hope where there seemed to be no hope. Upon further review, the situation looks way different than it did before. Are there any grateful people who say here today that I want to see my situation the way God sees my situation? So tell him, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, I am so grateful for you. God, you are amazing and awesome. I may be weak, but you are strong in me and through me. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you and I praise you. I am so grateful for you.
If you live in the Clovis, New Mexico area, we'd love to have you join us one Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located at 2201 North Main Street in Clovis. For more information about our church, visit highlandclovis.com. And to let us know a little bit more about you, choose the Connect tab and click on our online visitor card. You can also submit your prayer requests under the Connect tab. Lastly, follow us on Facebook at hbc.clovis to keep up to date with our announcements, events, and online services.